Come on, Norster Kenius.
I was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border Turkle, that bastard!
Bees!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 101 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, April 17th, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode we talk about stars, North Stars, and Wild. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey!
Hey, we made it through 100. We're now at, we're solidly in triple digits. We've actually now have two shows.
So, when we hit 151, are we doing shots of 151?
That sounds horrible.
Sounds like we won't get the podcast done.
That sounds like my liver trying to escape out my anus, actually.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
So how are you guys' this week going?
Horrible.
Yeah. I mean,
have you watched any of these hockey games?
They've been pretty bad, yeah.
Aside from hockey, it's been great.
It's actually been a great weekend. Great.
Right.
Weather-wise, yeah. You know, we've had some... Yeah. Spring has finally sprung.
I finally got around to trying to, you know, put the ice rink out in the back for the kids, and it's just not working.
You're in the wrong state.
Oops. Yeah, I'm in the wrong country, probably.
No, if you're in Colorado, you might have been able to get away with it.
For a day.
Yeah. Speaking of Colorado, we had Kyle Key from Altitude Sports. He was hate-tweeting us, like, I don't know why this guy is like, we made a comment on Twitter about how he was
knocking lips off
and how that was basically like not cool, and now he's got like some sort of thing for us. I don't know. It's really kind of weird.
Well, maybe he'll listen and write in.
Maybe he'll ask us a question or not.
Nope.
Well, I thought it was pretty funny at the very least, you know.
But if you guys want to yell at us, you can always yell at us on Twitter, at Three in the Box, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys say we get into some wild talk?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
So, yeah, the Wild off to a very dismal start with the 0-4 loss to Dallas in the first game. You know, very horrible. Two shots in the first period.
But there were two very good shots.
Well, they hit the net, or the goalie at least. Maybe Lehtinen had to reach for one and it counted as a shot on goal.
One was probably a soft suitor, you know.
Pass.
Wrister.
So he did a reach around?
6 wild penalties throughout the game, and it's just overall just a stinker of a game. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the beginning of the game, they did this whole on ice thing, you know, where they shoot the video down, and with the video, Dallas used the North Stars N logo, like the old school.
The N into the star, yep.
You know, is this kind of the typical Dallas marketing trying to get under the skin of the Wild fans, or, you know, Minnesota fans in general, or is it just like a lack of tact on their part for using a former team?
Well, you ask some Stars fans, and they own the legacy of the North Stars. We have no rights to it, and...
Technically, that is true.
Technically, yes, but...
In our hearts...
Right.
No.
That is incorrect. That is false.
You can't do that!
Absolutely, you can't do that.
But as far as the, you know, is it lack of tact or trying to get under the skin? Knowing how savvy the Dallas in-house AV team is, I gotta figure they were also just... kind of twisting the knife on Minnesota hockey professional fans.
From what I've heard in the past, it's not the in-house team that are putting together these videos or bringing in the the stuff to do it. So I mean, they could have influenced the.
Kenny's blaming Batman.
Yes.
Yeah. I doubt they created all the graphics and stuff themselves, but I'm guessing they may have been a storyboard or, you know, hey, we want to have these logos popping up.
Mm-hmm. Make this for us.
Right.
And that could very well be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whatever it said, I mean, I think I definitely did get under the skin of some of us former North Stars fans, huh?
Yeah, I mean, and Aaron, you're right. I mean, technically, they own the rights to the North Stars.
Yeah.
When the team moved, that moved with them. But, I mean, this is something where you wouldn't see, you know.
Well, the rights actually belongs to the NHL, but the legacy. It's the same franchise that was in Minnesota as in Dallas. So All those historical records, you know, Dino Cicerelli, his scoring, the amount of points he scored as a North Star count towards, you know, anyone trying to pass him in Dallas.
But does it? We look back to just a couple months ago, we had a little outdoor game here, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we did a little alumni thing. And who was out there? We had a little mixture of former Wild and former North Stars.
I don't think we have enough former Wild to make a team right now.
Is that the only reason? Is that why we haven't had an outdoor game until now?
Well,
I mean, who's going to all be on? It would be a very thin alumni game if it was all former Wild players.
So, okay, that actually brings up another good question, though, is since we had a bunch of former North Stars, Minnesota players, not necessarily Dallas exclusive, but, you know, North Star players
they played in Minnesota.
If we would have played Dallas that game, what would have happened with the teams? Would it have just been like a scrimmage?
What, Dallas, have they done a outdoor game yet?
It's Texas. I mean, I know they can do some, like, outdoor stuff.
But I don't think they've done one yet. So we don't know if they were to do an outdoor game with alumni, if they would dip back to North Stars days. You know, would Cicerelli be there? When Cicerelli never played in Dallas as a home player, you know?
Did Colorado bring in any Nordiques?
Probably not.
I don't think they did.
Except for Wah, probably, but...
But he would have also played with Colorado.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, again, with Colorado, though, I mean, if Colorado was in the playoffs, I can't imagine them putting up a Nordiques logo.
No.
You know, and honestly, I don't even know if Dallas would have done it had they not been playing the Wild right now.
If you look at any team in the playoffs, I mean, that where they've moved, you know, the... the Coyotes are not going to put a Winnipeg Jets logo up. The Hurricanes aren't going to put up a Whalers logo. And that's why I'm thinking they're just twisting a knife. And
Dallas never had that N as a logo.
And it's working because we're talking about it.
Yep.
And we're sick and tired of having our history trampled on
by
something.
Just like I tell my kids when they're getting on each other's nerve. Just ignore them. They keep doing it because it's getting at you. So let's just ignore them.
All right.
I can't disagree with that. I mean,
all right.
But it still pisses me off.
It does.
So game one was just pretty much a blowout. Like it was ugly. Like it looked like the Wild shouldn't even be in the playoffs.
But there were some shenanigans happening in game one that we may have missed.
Yeah.
And we didn't really find out till
game two intro.
Right.
You know, where they showed, you know, quote unquote highlights from game one. And a lot of them were of one Mr. Roussel, whatever. He's a Frenchie. Who cares? Being a dick. You know, one memorable moment, you know, was of him waving his stick in an opponent's face while waiting for the puck to drop. You know, the league created the Avery rule for, you know, dickish actions like this towards a goalie. I mean, should this apply to other players, other positions as well?
Well, the thing is if he were on our team, we would probably laugh about it, right?
I don't know if I would. I'd be embarrassed.
We'd probably go, oh, that's him being him, you know? But at the same point, we would figure that's still kind of a dick move. I would like to think that's how I would think, you know? I don't see that we do a lot of that, you know, WoW players over, you know, last half a decade. We don't have a whole lot of, like, just kind of jerks on the ice.
I mean, I guess we had it with Bugard, who would smile at players and kind of taunt them a little bit.
Right, but they wouldn't be... I mean, I don't know how a maneuver where you basically take your stick and act like you're going to slash someone in the face right as the puck's being dropped.
Right.
How that is sportsmanlike conduct, you know? And obviously we've got issues with the officiating in this series in general,
I'm jumping the shark here a little bit, but...
No, we're not playing the Sharks.
No, not yet.
We probably won't get to.
but that almost kind of seems like that would fit under the incitement ruling.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, jumping ahead here a little bit, going on to game two.
Yep.
You know, there was Roussel again. Roussel, Frenchie. Had a fluky go that was waved off. Initially is kicked in off the back of Dubnyk into the net after it's coming off the moorings, but still on the moorings.
It's really one of those goals where, or plays. I'm not going to acknowledge that as an actual goal, but it's one of those plays where you have to see it to understand what kind of weirdness is going on here. It's just a weird play.
Off the skate, behind the goal, on the shoulder, next to the crossbar. Holy man.
Okay.
You're correct. It's unexplainable.
You have to see it. Let's dissect this from the beginning. So, A, Roussel actually had said later in a comment that he kicked the puck because he was trying to kick it towards his stick. But it was a definite kick.
That doesn't matter. I mean...
It's a kicking motion that happened to go... from the backside of the goal, but it went up over the back of the net and hit Backstrom essentially in his shoulder blades, roughly.
And sat on his shoulder, really. I mean,
yeah.
It kind of just sat there.
Sat there. He lifted. He felt it, lifted up because he wanted to press against the bar to keep it in, or out, rather.
Yeah.
Then knocked the net off.
Yep. And then...
As the net was in the air, the puck crossed the line, which was still sitting on his shoulders.
Right.
And that's definitely, you know, overturnable, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of different ways that the NHL can look at this. A, if they feel that he knocked the puck off and the puck would have been going in, it would have been a good goal. Which...
Well, I mean...
Knocked the net off, you mean.
Knocked the net off.
Yeah.
But if you're playing devil's advocate... There's a few ways you could go with this. One would be that Dubnyk himself knocked the net off the moorings, thus it's a goal. Right?
Right. Okay. Yep.
But, you know, if the way I look at it, there's another way you can look if you reverse it and say he's going post to post, and as he's going post to post to stop a puck and the net comes off the moorings by him, you know, because goalies do that pretty often. They put skate on the post and go side to side.
Yeah.
If the net comes off during that and at that point, is he culpable for the net coming off when that's a pretty common play? I mean, I don't know. If that net was anchored in and not moving, that puck would have not crossed the line.
No, because
he was pressing up. The puck had nowhere to go at that point.
Right.
And this is where other arguments come in. Kerry Fisher actually had tweeted about this, the former NHL official, who is now doing basically officiating commentary for, I think, CSN, I believe.
Hmm.
And he had said, you know, from the one angle, from what he could tell, the net...
Kerry Fraser, not Fisher.
Did I say Fisher?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, not non-buns, but the,
I figured I better say something before. I figure I better say something before Derek Felska sends us a tweet saying it's actually a Carrie Fraser. So
Carrie
I just want to head it off of the past. Sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good.
Luke, I am your father.
He said it looked like where the puck would have crossed over the net, it would have been up and over the crossbar, and it would have been over the net. But according to the NHL rules, because where they saw it, the mooring, the little plastic pieces.
I think they're actually metal down there.
No, they're plastic. No, they're they got rid of metal a long time ago.
They're rubber or plastic. They're some sort of plastic.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more flexible, so it's not as rigid, so to prevent injury.
Well, okay. I won't argue about this, but go ahead.
So they do bend. They do. You see them bend quite frequently.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're like translucent yellow. I think that's the last ones I've seen. Where...
So the people up in Toronto were saying, no, you could still see those and still see them in the hole and the puck cross the net, mm-hmm. so it's a good goal. But, I mean, it took them, what, 5 minutes to come up with this after the goal was initially waved off?
Well, and that's the thing is that it was initially waved off, and I don't know anything in the video that you could see that was conclusive
to completely overturn that call.
Right.
Right.
I mean, exactly. And considering how long Brad Meyer sat there watching the screen, I mean, I didn't have a stopwatch, but I'm going to guess it was 3 or 4 minutes. It was a long time.
On a little 7-inch screen.
On his little 7-inch iPad, you know, or Surface Pro or whatever the
it's
hell.
It's actually an Atomos.
Atomos, yeah, right. Some super nerd thing, AV thing that, I don't know, is it HD?
Yeah.
But it's still small, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I actually just got one of those. But,
nerd.
Yeah, well, you know, it's for a different recording.
Oh, nerds!
So, yeah, I mean, there's no way he could have seen that anything that would decisively change his original call
on the ice. To make it totally
ice.
Conclusive the other way, right? So, that being said, I mean, really, the call should have just remained as called. Game went on. But unfortunately, for the Wild, that is not what happened.
Well, no. You know, with that, you also, you know, you have the kicking motion in there.
Yeah.
I mean, where the puck was kicked in, but because that's not a reviewable play, you can't change the call based on that alone.
Right.
So, or I guess, you know, keep the call the same because that's not what it got waved off for.
Right. And that, I mean, that would just seem silly, right?
I would think that a kicking motion should be a very much so a reviewable play in the NHL. If you're going to be reviewing offsides and goalie interference, I think kicking should be in there too. I mean, you know, what does the NHL need to do to just, you know, account for the missed calls by officials at that point? Because, I mean, it is blatant that it was a kicking motion, but it can't be overturned.
Well, like we were saying, though, this is like, I'm pretty sure someone on Twitter said it, that this is like the first call that Brad Meyer has gotten right, and then it ended up being overturned by Toronto. So I'm a little irritated by the fact that, you know, when he has, when the refs on ice have control of the game, they make bad plays, and sometimes they give up the control of the game to Toronto, where there's like really no accountability. It's like, okay, Toronto's making the call now. Why do we even have refs on the ice at that point?
And this is something else that somebody had asked Carrie Fraser about, was, so who are these people in Toronto? Are they ex-officials? Are they, you know, whoever? And he's like, no, there's no ex-referees in Toronto. So you basically have a bunch of guys analyzing video that have no on-ice officiating experience.
They might as well just send it to 3 in the box and let us decide.
Absolutely. I think so.
Well, and another argument I had seen online was, you know, the kicking motion shouldn't really apply behind the net because you don't expect a kicking motion from behind the net to go in. Which I find ludicrous.
Kicking motion is still a kicking motion.
You know, if you kick it in, if you make a kicking motion from mid-ice and it's, you know, a goalie flubs it somehow, intent or where they should be able to score from doesn't really matter. it's either a rule or it's not. I mean, there's nothing in the book that says kicking motion from in front of the net, you know.
What it should be is a kicking motion in the crease. Honestly.
Fair enough. But it's not written that way.
It is not.
You know, so, I don't know. It sucks that that's the what decided the game. You know, that's the real bummer about it.
Well, so, we had that fluke of a goal that, I mean, you know, it's been talked about quite a bit since yeah. that happened. I mm-hmm. mean, it's been going around, you know, it made nationwide stuff. But overall, I mean, I think the Wild played a better game.
Oh, no doubt.
Than
no
game
doubt.
One.
They yeah. definitely showed up.
Dubnyk had a very solid game.
Definitely.
I mean, you can't blame that goal on him. And the second goal was he got hung out to dry with a one-on-one against Ben.
And Ben's going to win that a lot of times. So.
I mean, yeah.
9 out of 10 times, yeah.
You know, and that happened to be one of those 9.
Yep.
Granny had several good chances. You know, and I think Russo had said that at the beginning he was very, like, he wasn't really, like, the one-timers, he wasn't taking the shots. He was trapping the puck and then shooting.
Yep.
And then the one time that he has, like, the one-timer that he gets to take it, he just shanks it wide.
Yep.
So I don't know what that whole indecisiveness is all about, but, I mean, he needs to get his act together.
But at the same point, he was very visible in the game.
And, he was.
And, you know, the Wild spent a lot of time in the offensive zone partly because of Granlund's play.
Well,
I mean, it stinks that he wasn't able to convert, but he at least had us trying.
So, and that brings to the point. I mean, you know, how much are we missing Parisi at this point? You know, somebody in front to be in that dirty area when, you know, we've got efforts being made by a player like Granlund to, you know, keep it in the offensive zone and keep the play down in there. In the offensive zone, and you know, Parisi is, you know, he's our poster child for, you know, digging in front of the net and getting those goals out there.
He would have got jackhammered a ton without any calls.
Yeah,
yeah, that's kind of Roussel's MO is just jackhammering. But also,
Parisi is one, you know, he'll take those and he'll still put a puck in the net. So
yeah. I mean, you know. Uncalled. I mean, this is kind of the typical Meyer MO of we had 2 uncalled high stickings, one of which was on Granny, who, I mean, he looked like got
there's blood all over the place. Bar brawl. And every time the camera turned to Granny, he just looked irritated about everything. I'm sure he was pissed off about his misses, but the. You know, you could see after he was talking with the refs about, you know, he's like, look.
He's bleeding.
His lip is all swollen. And he's like, seriously, nothing?
It should have been a 4-minute.
It should have been a 4-minute, yeah. I don't know that would help the Wild because we can't score on the power play, but that's another issue, you know. We had a power play goal.
We did.
You know, Scanny had a
nice slapper.
Yeah, but.
Nope.
So, you know, easily 2 uncalled high stickings. There was the one on the cross check on Zucker that when it was would have been the hand pass for Dallas.
Right.
I mean, you have 4 officials looking at the whole play because it's basically at a standstill waiting for Dallas to touch the puck. He gets cross checked to the back. He goes down and there's no call.
Cross checked by Sharp and.
There's absolutely no call. How many more guys do you need to be looking at this play? To well, call
Sharp,
it.
Sharp doesn't commit penalties.
No, not at all.
But there was one other weird penalty.
So, yeah, and this is on the Wild. So the Wild ended up having 6 penalties, including a very uncommon incitement match penalty on Carter. I don't know about you guys, but I've never heard this penalty before. I
can't say that I have ever heard of incitement before in my life.
I'm not going to claim encyclopedic knowledge of NHL penalties, but yeah, this one was a new
and
one.
And when I was looking it up, it looked like the most recent question for it went back at least 6 years. So is this Meyer just pulling out one of his random penalties on the Wild? So anyways, on the incitement penalty, Carter got an incitement match penalty for...
basically bumping
into Layton. Yeah, Layton, and as he was going off for extra man on a penalty.
Right.
Is what it was. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, one thing, you know, Carter said, he's like, I thought nobody was looking at me, and they were. Torch said that Lettinen two-handed Carter back as well. It was just kind of a weird play, but, you know, was Greenlay, you know, is it just like Greenlay called it and you just can't mess with the goalie like that? Or, I mean, you know, was it deserved?
You know, I think, yeah, there's a certain element where you can't mess with a goalie. Goalies have a different level of protection, right?
He was out of the crease.
He was out of the crease.
But, I mean, he didn't have the puck, so, I mean, maybe an interference call.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is, the NHL, time and again, you know, follows through with the thought that goalies are not the same. Even if they're out of the crease, doesn't mean it's open season on goalies. And we should embrace that because we don't want people checking Dubnyk because he's out of the crease.
I think Dubnyk might throw down, though, and put a couple of people on their butts.
And I know I was talking about it before, but sometimes Dubnyk does some dick moves, actually.
He does.
So I'll be equal opportunity there. But you're right. I mean, but you don't want people checking him in those...
vulnerable positions.
Because he padded differently than a normal skater.
Yeah, you don't have as much mobility.
That being said, though, I mean, watching the replays, I don't know that what Carter did was any more egregious than anything else that I've seen, you know, just as far as interaction with players.
Yeah, I guess, I mean... inciting, really, what is it? I mean, it's just enticing another player to commit a penalty. Am I understanding correctly? Or
that's what I could find with the rules. And
there's the only penalty in there is inciting another player to commit a penalty,
which is basically like an instigator penalty for a fight.
Right. So I don't know how that would even apply in this case.
Right.
When Carter had another quote that I like. He said, I'm good at taking penalties nobody's ever heard of before. He's like, I always get the good ones. He's like, last year against Winnipeg, Carter came out of the penalty box, and instead of nailing Mark Scheifele, he played the puck with one foot in the box. That's a no-no, and he got an interference penalty. And he goes, I didn't want to step 2 feet and kill him, so I stepped out 1 foot and waited to poke the puck right back in. He goes, if I would have jumped out and crushed the guy, it would have been legal. Like, I mean, you know, way to go, Carter. I mean, like, yeah, thanks for bringing up these random rules. I wonder if Myra was reffing that one, too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not very good, though.
I mean, it was definitely one pulled out of the back pocket. I mean, maybe he felt he had Meyer felt he had the upper hand because, you know, he's calling something that, you know, nobody would have heard of. So.
I didn't even see if it was Myra. It might have been Pollock that called it, too.
A Pollock?
Yeah, Pollock was the other one. Dude, those two guys, yeah, they just...
Tell us how you really feel.
Was it Pollock? I thought it was the other guy.
No, it was Pollock and Meyer.
I'm blanking on his name, but...
Welcome
to Three in the Box. Or something Chick, Kovalchik.
Oh, no, it was Pollock.
Oh, that Brad Kovalchik was the linesman, that's right.
Yep.
So after the Wild are out, are we just going to cover the refs for the rest of the year?
Oh, maybe. No, scouting the refs does a pretty good job of that. Maybe we'll get a podcast going for them.
There we go.
Yeah, scouting refs are actually, they're on point with keeping track of that stuff. There's no doubt about that.
So, I don't know. I mean, game two looked a lot better.
It did.
Had it not been for the, you can blame Toronto for the fluky goal.
Sure.
But you can't blame Toronto for the Wild only getting one goal.
No, you can't. And, you know, I know I was frustrated with Suter being, and I know that, and I know I won't be alone, but I also know that there's plenty of people that think Suter just does a great job. And defensively, he does a super solid job. There's no doubt about that. But offensively, on the power plays in particular, we had, you know, a bunch of power plays, and He was adding zero to those power plays. Nothing.
It was bad.
You know, the puck would get past him.
He'd pass it to Lehtinen.
And he'd pass it to Lehtinen. And it's like, what are you doing out there? I don't understand the point.
He's hustling. Oh, wait.
He was getting beat back to the...
Right.
And that's another thing is the, you know, they dump it in and he just, you know, coast in and there's zero urgency, which is fine if we're not on the power play or we're not down. But, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what the Wild does with him. I honestly don't.
Well, how is he going to play 30 or 35 minutes if he's going 100% every time?
He shouldn't be. That's exactly. That's the problem is he should not be playing that much time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would rather see a faster Suter with less ice time than, you know, this guy we got gliding back and forth right now.
We'll just call him Slow-Mo.
SMS. Slow-Mo Suter.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
He's like a text message from the 90s.
So
are we done talking about these terrible games?
Yeah, I mean...
Terrible, just terrible.
I don't know how much more we can rant on. I mean, Roussel, Frenchie.
Meyer.
I mean, any thoughts on what the Wild can do to stop them?
Yeah, let's get into talking about that. Maybe some movements.
Yeah.
So, movements. Obviously
I had a movement earlier today.
Well, obviously, Eric Hall is back. Yeah, he came back for game two. And he was definitely, there's presence.
He was
there.
Hyped.
Yeah. Riley has been recalled. So I think he'll be back for next game. I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah, right. And then Parisi is the big one. He's still out.
I think Vanek's still out too.
Vanek is still out. Vanek is week to week. And Parisi, I think, is out
indefinitely.
Indefinitely, yeah. So the reason he's out is because of back problems.
So he could be back tomorrow. Or he might not be back the entire year.
Right. And basically there's rumblings that he might need surgery.
It's from all the jackhammering he takes from Roussel.
Well, it's not just Roussel, but it's a lot of, you know, players. You know, if you get in front of the net, you're going to get cross checks.
Going to take the beatings, yep.
And so with that, you know, talks of surgery, do you guys think Zach will be back for the playoffs?
I don't think so. I don't think we will see him until next season. And hopefully then we do see him and he's back 100%.
Yeah, I got to agree with you there, Kenny. I think that if Parisi was going to be back anytime soon, he would have been in there in game one. Parisi's the type of guy I think that would play through, you know, a little pain, you know, whatever, to basically be able to go out there. He likes to compete. He's not he's not going to be your little pushover guy. So if he could be out there, I think he would be. And seeing that he's been out the last couple games of the playoffs here, I definitely see that as a sign that, you know, he can't go.
Right. You know, and I got to think, I got to think, you know, they said, I think it was Russo that said that he got a cortisone shot.
Yeah.
And that was the same day he scored the hat trick.
And I mean, this has been going on since January, though.
Right. He's been at, well, which kind of shows because he hasn't played very well.
Right.
Yeah.
So I got to think it's pretty serious at this point, just looking at his body of work and since, you know, the start of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to be back. I do worry that he's going to be ready for next year because if he gets surgery.
What's the recovery time?
Yeah, right.
Especially with you start messing with somebody's back.
And he's going to be the same. Is he going to be the same Parisi?
Right.
You know?
I am worried. I mean, you know, Aaron, you mentioned the cortisone shots and all of a sudden he gets three goals and it's like, oh, great. You just bumped a whole ton of like numbing steroid stuff into his back. And of course he can't feel the pain and he feels like Superman. I mean, but you can't keep doing that to him forever without very long-term consequences.
Right. Tell that to Brett Favre.
Yeah, how's his knees doing right now?
Yeah, right now, but yeah, he was an Iron Man out there on the football field.
Right.
He came to play every week.
And he's going to be hunched up in a wheelchair when he's 65.
Tell that to Muhammad Ali.
I don't know if I can.
Okay. He might not understand you.
Ooh, yeah. This is getting kind of dark here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
So we also have Riley getting called back up. Do you guys think he's going to play? And if so, who do you think he's going to be replacing?
If anything, I see Prosser out. I mean, I haven't seen anything from Prosser that I've liked. And, I mean, Riley's played solid. I mean, when he's been up, I've liked his play, and you know, and look at Hollock coming back in and being the young inspiration and trying to take over. So I mean, you know, throw Riley up there too, get some of these younger guys that are itching to win. You know, it'd be nice to have some of the veteran guys that have, you know, played in playoffs more. Vanek, Parisi, for example, up to give some leadership. But I mean, I think get some of the talent from some of these younger guys with the will to go.
Yeah, that's. I can't disagree there. I mean, at this point, you know, we're already down 2-0 in the series. It's kind of to be expected coming back from Dallas. I mean, you're talking about, you know, top seeds here in the division and going up against the bottom seeds. And I mean, it's to be expected that, you know, we'd be coming out of there down 2-0. But I think if things go downhill, especially in game three here, I think that after that in the game four is when we would probably see somebody like Riley come in. And that would be more of a, you know, gain some experience type of move really. So I don't know that we will even see him in game three. I guess, honestly.
Well, I mean, there's certain players I think are protected. Brodin, Suter, and Spurgeon. Those three guys are all have a plus minus of 0 through the first 2 games. So at least you can say they're defensively sound.
Scandy got a goal. He's got the only goal.
He's also a minus 4. And so is Dumba, who's a minus 4. And Prosser's only a minus 2. So I'm going to go with if anyone gets pulled for Riley, it's going to be Dumba. You know, Dumba's got an assist, but...
Well, and this wouldn't be the first time that Dumba's been dropped in very recent times either. So
it'd be very easy pickings. Obviously, he had a better game in game two, but I think if anyone's going for Riley, I got to unfortunately say Dumba. So
okay. Well, with that, I mean,
talking to young kids,
yeah, some new guys.
Let's talk about the future. Let's look into our crystal balls.
So we talked about the past.
Our crystal balls.
Our crystal balls.
Humag is big.
So, the Wild have also been, you know, doing a little work off the ice, signing Anas and Tuck. To a couple of
Tuck.
I think it's Tuck.
Tuck.
We're probably all doing it wrong.
Tuck.
It's Tooch.
Tooch. All right, but anyway, so they did do a couple of couple of moves off ice here, signing a couple of younger guys. We got Sam Anas and Alex Tuck. Sam Anas, He's 5'8", 160 pounds, so not the biggest guy, but he did manage to put up, you know, 50 points this past season with Quinnipiac. See, now that's a name that is hard for me to pronounce.
Quinnipiac.
He comes in, he's a, you know, 20-year-old. Yeah, he's a 22-year-old guy, so nice young guy. And, I mean... I believe it was in 2013 or 2014, the 2013-2014 season, I think he was the NHL rookie or
NCAA.
Not the NHL, the NCAA rookie of the year. Thank you. So we got him, and then Alex Tuch, you know, he's a little bit bigger guy, you know, at 6'4", 220 pounds. He got signed to a 3-year deal here with the Wild as well. And I mean, in his last season with Boston College, he scored 34 points, about 18 goals, 16 assists, you know, right in there, including some penalty minutes, about 33 of those.
He looked okay, though.
But yeah, in 40 games, you know, 34 points, that's not too shabby. So really, I mean, what we're looking at here is a couple of forwards with, you know, apparent, you know, scoring ability. I mean, is this exactly what the Wild need? You know, I mean, as we move forward to and take the next step?
Well, I worry with Onis that he's a small guy, and you're never sure how that's going to translate to the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the part that really frightens me with him. And I think with Tuck, I think his, I mean, if you look at comparable players, even with the region that they're coming from, I think you look at someone like Coyle, you know, a bigger kid who can score, but he's not even quite a point-per-game guy in college.
Yeah.
So how is that really going to translate to the NHL?
Mm-hmm.
I look at Tuch being like he's a, you know, a younger version of Coyle, and I look at Onis as, you know, Halla-like maybe, yeah. You know.
Well, we haven't really got to see what Halla could do, though, because he spent half the season in Yo's doghouse. He gets out of it, and all of a sudden he starts putting points on the board. So, I mean, I still have a lot of respect for Halla, and I'm hoping that whoever is coaching next year, whether it's Torch or somebody else, that Halla actually gets
Animals.
Some... Halla actually gets some ice time, and we can actually see what this kid can really do. Because I mean, he's got the speed and he's got the hands to do it. And I mean, honestly, bringing up Tuch with him, you know, and maybe Onis as well. I mean, get some younger guys in here because we're gonna need a new regime. Because it's not like Koivu's getting any younger.
No, nope.
Parisi's not getting any younger. I mean, Parisi's got a long contract, but.
Well, at the bottom line, this actually is probably going to be really a good thing for Iowa because the cupboard's bare.
We got Lucia in there now too with Iowa,
right? And being that we have so little room on that, unless you know Fletcher or if there's a replacement, you know, unless the GM is moving pieces, these guys are going to be probably. You know, tweeners where they're spending time in Iowa getting occasional call-ups as injuries and, you know, whatever happens.
That kind of rolls me right into my next question, you know, because actually several of the Wild's forwards, you know, coming up here, they're going to be free agents. So, you know, do we expect to be keeping a lot of these guys around where, you know, I guess we haven't exactly seen the success that we want to see with the current chemistry. You know, do we look at, you know, seeing these two possibly even on the starting rosters next year?
Oh, I don't see it out of the question. Same thing with Lucia. I could potentially see him coming up as well to get some minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, maybe open up some cap space by getting rid of some of these forwards that are taking up, you know, some of this money. And having some of the younger guys in there and see what happens. And if you know, it doesn't happen, having some money to throw around to potentially get, you know, another all-star. Not yeah. Danny Heatley, but.
And I got to imagine that whoever's GMing come draft time is going to be looking at moving some players, whoever he can, just to free up some space, yeah. Cap-wise. And also to get some picks because the Wild are kind of low for picks this upcoming draft.
Yeah.
So I got to figure some guys are going to get moved, and whether we're talking, you know, a Zucker or Granlund, you know, I have a feeling that some of these younger guys that we've seen for the last few years that haven't really made the next jump. They're okay players, but they haven't really done anything beyond that. Some of these guys are going to be moved around and for a change of scenery, and hopefully we get some respectable draft picks in return.
Yeah. But, I mean, because, like, a lot of those, you know, if they're coming up as free agents, you know, people like Zucker. I mean, he'll be a free agent in for the 2016-2017 season, right?
He'll be an RFA, so yeah. We'll still have be able to control that a little bit.
A little bit. We can match somebody else's right, deal. Right. But, you know, how much is somebody willing to pay for like a Zucker right now when it hasn't been proven?
Right.
But how much does Zucker want to continue to play here when, you know, maybe he feels he can do better in a different environment?
You know? This is true. It's going to be interesting this offseason.
Definitely it will be. There will definitely be some shaking, rattling, and rolling.
Well, should we get to some field questions?
Some Twitter talk?
Some Twitter talk?
Twitter.
So this first question, we kind of kicked around a little bit already. But no pun intended. From Mr. Nostra, Derek Felska at State of Hockey News. What is more improbable, Roussel's bounce goal or Brad Meyer making a call in the Wild's favor? Technically, those both happen at the same time.
And they're both crazy rare. I'm going to go with that bounce goal because it's weird.
I have to agree with you there. You can watch, you know, probably a million NHL games and you won't see that happen again.
This one's going to be getting talked about for quite a while. Yeah. I don't, unless you're actually scouting the refs, you could mention Brad Meyer and people are going to be like, who? But this goal will be getting talked about for a long time. So,
yep. Second question also from, Derek Felska. The Stars opened the series with an Asteroids-inspired intro. If you were the Minnesota Wild game ops, what game or movie, song, whatever, would you use for a montage to hopefully rally the fans and the team to victory in Game 3?
I got to go with Karate Kid. Just because, I mean, like, I think of montage for, like, a fight scene with music, and nothing brings me back to, like, a montage like what they did in Karate Kid. That's just kind of like the epic classic burned into my brain.
I'm going to go with The Eye of the Tiger because, I mean, you gotta keep your eye on the prize. And I always go back to, like, thinking, like, I see, like, what is it, Mike Tyson's punch out or something. Like, I see the little guy going along. But I think of Eye of the Tiger to that and... I don't know. That's what it does for me, but maybe I'm weird.
See, I'm going to go with going full circle here. I'm going to go with Rock and Roll Part 2, a little Gary Glitter action.
Not Gary Glitter action.
Gary Glitter, but not Gary Glitter.
Because you're a molester. I get it.
Fiddler. Is it because we're playing Dallas?
But see, that'll be our opportunity to show the North Stars logo during the intro.
This is true.
And you can have it playing during the Gary Glitter, because that used to be the North Stars goal song.
Hey!
Yeah, come on, nothing says montage like, sweep the leg, Johnny, sweep the leg!
I'm going Gary Glitter all the way.
Gary Glitter. All right. Our next question comes in from DM2 at Fans for Hockey. He says... Or she says, I guess I don't know. starting from scratch.
They say.
Who should wear the C and the A and the A?
Oh, that's easy. Hold on. That should be Kenny, Aaron, and Jive.
Hey!
Hey!
Sorry.
You know, if I'm taking the team and I'm tearing it apart, my initial instinct would be Parise gets the captaincy. But
he's out right now. So
I'm saying if we tear this team apart, so starting next season, that's how I read the question.
Sure.
However, the last 2 weeks of comments from Parise where he's like, the fans shouldn't be booing us and mm-hmm. we're That just rubbed me the wrong way. So I don't even know who I'd picked as captain. So I'd probably just default back to Koivu because at least he's an angry Finn.
Can we do the three A's? That's been done before, hasn't it?
I believe it has, yeah. So with that, though, Parisi probably still gets an A. The A would not go to Suter because I don't know why. I don't know what he's leading other
unless
than...
Unless that A stands for asshole.
Is he leading us on a tour of the local Quick Trip? I don't know.
I like Quick Trip. Their cookies are good.
I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know?
No, I wouldn't.
That's because they don't put Quick Trip in your area.
Yeah, not in the ghetto.
Yeah.
As far as who would get the other A, I would probably go... I don't know. I the more I see of Hollow, the more I like what he brings. And, you know, there was a lot of talk with him before game two, and he talked like a leader talks, and I like that. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but.
I got this one. So, Captain Koivu kind of makes sense. I just in general as a leader, not just the sounds, but you know,
not the alliterative sounds,
not the alliterative. You know, definitely solid. I would almost, especially with the way he's been responding to the press, put an A on Dubnyk.
Ooh, bold move, Cotton.
I was thinking along similar lines.
The last time we've seen either a C or an A on a goaltender would have been Pinky the Brain and what's his name in Vancouver.
Luongo.
But I mean Dubnyk's been handling the press pretty well, and I could see him, you can tell he's getting upset, and I think he's been and getting frustrated, and I think he's been kind of mentioning that to the team. I could see him being outright with the team and saying, you know, his piece. And I could see him taking on a leader role, too, leadership-type role. Aaron, I don't disagree with Holla. I totally think, I mean, especially with what he was saying coming into that game where it's like, no, we got to take a second one. You know, I see him as a potential for the future.
Right.
I don't think right now, but maybe in the future.
Fair enough.
But I definitely think, you know, keeping... Koivu just has had the tenure, and he's been around. He knows the organization. He knows the players underneath him. I would definitely say keep him up there. And, you know, Parisi definitely is an on-ice leader as well. So it'd be those two, and, yeah, maybe a Dubnyk.
And for me, I guess really, you know, the most that I could say is I would probably continue to give Parisi the A. But... in my honest opinion, I don't see like the standout leader on the ice for the Minnesota Wild.
That's
right now,
tough.
You know?
It really is.
It's not like there's, you know, one person who you can see as, you know, directing and driving this team to lead them into battle. And
we're a rudderless ship right now.
Yes.
Hollis seemed to take the most control last game, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time assigning that C to really anybody.
I still think Koivu does. I think he does an understated job, but I think he does fit that role. I don't think he necessarily should be a first or second line player, but you don't always need your captain to be the top player on the team. You know,
he reminds me a lot of Paul Newman's character from Slapshot with the kind of the coach leader player type position.
Yeah.
Koivu's going to be the head coach next year, huh?
Ooh, maybe. All right. Okay. Well, which goes into our next question.
Yeah. So next question is from Ty Sandstrom at Ty Sands 42. Does Chuck Fletcher make it to the draft? And if so, is Torch to be his coach? Assuming Fletcher is let go, who's the replacement?
Ooh, I don't know about... That's a tough one.
I'm not even going to claim to know who would be in the running for the GM spot.
Lou Nanny. I'm going with Nanny, and I'm sticking to it.
If you ask me today, I'm gonna say there's no way Fletcher is gonna be there for the draft. If you ask me now,
what about his replacement, Torches?
Torches, I don't think Torch will last after this.
Just an interim, and that's it.
I think so. Yeah.
So does he then get moved back to the Wild or the Iowa Wild or does he?
I don't think so.
No.
I
think it's just cutting bait with everybody there then?
I think there's got to be a cleaning house and unfortunately Torch is the unwitting pawn of all that. So
hasn't been the first time in his life, though, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So as far as Chuck Fletcher goes, so. I don't see with the way that the current success of the team and the lack of depth, you know, that we've had like within Iowa, it's not like we've got a great system that's, you know, coming up and coming and right. Churning out players. You know, if I was the owner, I wouldn't be happy with that. You know, I'm sure that they started out the season and set some certain expectations for goals to meet, and I gotta guess
that you said goals.
I did say goals, and I gotta guess that Chuck Fletcher didn't meet all of his goals that he was supposed to.
They've paid a lot of money to many players here,
mm-hmm.
And
one of them isn't even playing right now.
Well, some of the players though are younger players.
Two of them aren't playing right now.
Some of them are younger players that they were hoping would develop and haven't been developing.
Mm-hmm.
They've plateaued, and that's going to be a problem if you're going to evaluate Fletcher, is that he's given out these long contracts, high dollar contracts for players that have not gone to the next level.
Actually, Aaron, that's a very, you brought up a good point with these players that they had brought up planning on them developing, is that the players just plateauing, or is that the coaching staff not helping them develop?
That goes back to your Halla assertion, is that it's been coaching, it's been the system, it's been the way that they're played. It could be the players that they're playing with. But I think at the end of the day, all those decisions, those fall on the guy at the top. You know, if you've got a large corporation and you're losing money year over year, that goes right to the CEO.
Yeah,
and Chuck Fletcher is that CEO.
That's actually a very good point, because it's not like Twins versus Yankees, where Yankees are spending X amount times more on players than what the Twins are.
This is a salary cap system.
Everybody's paying the exact same amount as how you dish that out and how that goes around.
Yep.
So, Jive.
So, yeah, our next question comes in from Teresa Ferris. At Minnesota 24, MNSOTA 24. And she's asking, if the Wild were a nursery rhyme, what would they be? And rewrite it.
Man, that's asking a lot.
Yeah, I'm not going to be
Little Bo Peep.
I'm not going to be rewriting anything, but Humpty Dumpty, that's an easy one.
Humpty Dumpty, huh?
Yeah.
Kenny?
Zach Parise sat on a wall. Zach Parise took a great fall. Zach Parise got a broken back.
And all the Wild doctors couldn't put him back together again.
Okay, so
we got his.
We got that one. So I hope I get the same help coming towards me.
You got some help coming here.
All right. How about Rockabye Baby?
Rockabye Baby. Rockabye Wild in the treetop.
What Rockabye Wild in a playoff spot? Crickets, 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 crickets.
When the Dallas fall,
no more. No, let's move on.
Okay,
let's move on.
So I'm gonna do. Mary Had a Little Lamb, right?
Okay. You got to start for this.
Yep.
Okay. Go for it.
Wild had a little offense, little offense, little offense. Wild had a little offense. Nobody could score goals.
Oh, okay. think Jive wins the Ferris round right there.
Right. Yes, he does. All right, so upcoming. We got Dallas.
Maybe Dallas.
We're hoping. So for the game of the week, I'm picking game three. Wild, in the last six game three appearances, have only lost one of them, and it was last year when we got blown out by Chicago. Otherwise, they've won five out of the six last game three appearances.
That's a pretty good track record.
I think so. They're back at home. I think we're going to see a little, Jive doesn't think so, but I think we're going to see a little juggling with some players and who's scratched and who's playing. And I'm going to think, you know, just with being back home, all that other stuff said, that the Wild are going to pull off the win 3-2. Aaron, what do you think?
Well, I think if anything, game two showed us that the Wild can beat, can compete with the Stars. Even with the depleted talent that we've got, not having Parisi and not having Vanek, even though people are down on Vanek, but he's got points for us this year.
He's got experience in the playoffs. And
he's got experience in the playoffs. That being said, I don't expect it to be a high scoring game. These teams don't seem to, you know, except for game one where the Wild were just manhandled. I expect another low scoring game. I'm gonna go with the Wild winning 2-1.
Great. Jive.
Yeah. I gotta agree with you, Kenny. I think that the Wild are gonna probably pull this one out 3-2. And I guess, you know, my thinking along that lines is just as Aaron said, I mean, in the last, you know, game we saw that, you know, oh, the Wild are actually gonna play in this series. You know, they're not just gonna fall over and play dead and you know, move on to golf season. So that said, you know, with the Wild competing, all the games between the Wild and Dallas this year have been close. You know, aside from
game one,
right? Let me classify that then, the regular season games. But that said, I think that, you know, the Wild are going to compete. It's probably going to be close. It probably will even go into an overtime period, unfortunately. But
at least it's not 3-on-3.
Right. And the Wild's luck has got to change for overtime. So I think they'll pull one out there.
All right. Well, there you have it. Game of the week. Kenny, where can people find you?
People can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is K-E-N-N-E-Y. Links to my Twitter and Instagram pages and, you know, other interesting stuff that I should really update.
Jive, where can people find what you're up to?
Yeah, you can check me out. I'm on about.me/HeyJive.
And as for myself, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inTheBox. If you got questions, send us those tweets, #3ITB, and we'll probably read them on the show. You can also listen to our podcast on our website, 3inTheBox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. That's it for this week's episode. See ya.